Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we left off in a back-and-forth discussion between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in their respective approaches to a Bas Kohen that is married and behaves immorally. We were dealing with how each one deals with their respective psukim. In that spirit, the last expression on Nun Aleph on the Beis features the name Rabbi Shmuel, from which point we start our reading. Rabbi Shmuel, continuing to the top of Nun Beis Omer Aleph, Hai es ovio hi mechaleles, my dorish bay. What does Rabbi Yishmuel do with this particular posuk? The posuk of es ovio hi mechaleles. Mi boyale lichedesanyo. He needs it for the following teaching. As you can see, we have a framed section with a which represents a Tanaic source. It might be pointed out that Rabbi Akiva himself made reference to the Ovia in his use of a Gzeirah Shavah, which was a Gzeirah Shavah between the topic of Bas Kohen in our Pasuk Es Ovia Himechaleles and the Pasuk involving Motzi Shemra. This was the proof of Rabbi Akiva to show that we do not include a penuya in our discussion. Of course, that was Rabbi Akiva's approach because he had the Gzeirah Shavah. The question now is, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that particular pasuk? Mi boyale lichedesanya. He needs it for the following teaching. Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer, ma tamud lomar es ovio hi mechaleles? What does this pasuk teach us? That pasuk, which means that she violates or she's mechalel her father. It means as follows. She'im hoyu noagin boi kodesh. If you have a man who raised a daughter, namely a man, a kohen that raised a daughter, and she behaved in a married status immorally, if up till this point people were treating the father with kedusha, with importance and sanctity, now that the daughter went off the path in the realm of immorality, as far as the way the public is to treat the father, they will treat him without the previously accorded sanctity. Kavod, if they treated him with honor, they now can treat him in a disparaging fashion. Omrim, and the public can say, Orur Shezu Yolad, cursed be this man who bore such a child. Orur Shezu Gidel, cursed be he that he raised such a child. Orur Sheyotza Zu Mechalotzov, cursed be him that such a child came forth from his loins. Omar Ravashi, Keman Karinan Rishia Bar Rishia, Viafilu Lirishia Bar Tzadika, Keman, based on whom would we refer to someone as the son of the wicked, even if you were dealing with the son of someone who's truly pious? In other words, we have an individual who is behaving wickedly. We would refer to that person's father as being wicked, even if that person's father was in fact a tzaddik. Keman, like whom would we be acting if we dealt thusly? Kehai Tana, like the Tana we just saw, namely, a man who may himself person his personal behavior be a tzaddik, but since he bore a child that was a Rasha, we will refer to him, the father as well, as a Rasha. Zu mitzvas haniskolet. This was a term that appeared at the conclusion of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, "My Tana dekotoni zu mitzvas haniskolin." What prompted our Tana to say this is the mitzvah of Nischam? This is the way to deal with the stone. In other words, the question is, what is this phrase referring to? So the Gemara answers, in fact, it's a phrase that's a continuation of that which was featured in the previous perek. Mishum detona nigmar hadin motzino isoy lesaklo. Since it was taught in the previous perek that when there's a final conclusion in the judicial process and he's found, and the defendant is found guilty, we take him out to be stoned. And the Mishnah there teaches that the stoning site was itself a drop of 2 person heights. The ID to Koboi Lemisna Mitzvah Sanisrafen, and since the Tana wants now, the next Mishnah is going to feature the mitzvah, the way to deal with those who are punished by Srefa, as a link between these two sections, Tana Nami Zu Mitzvah Saniskolim, as a conclusion of the way we deal with Niskolim, it's used this phrase as a lead in now to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah, Mitzvahs Hanisrafin, the method of carrying out the Srefa execution. Hoyu Mishaken Oisoi Bezevel Ad Arkavoisov. They would take the condemned and immerse him in dung until his knees. Venoisin Sudur Koshil Soicharaka, the Kurich Al Savaro. They would take a cloth that was of coarse material and wrap around it a soft material, and then take this material combination and wrap it around his neck, the defendant's neck, or the condemned's neck, in a loop fashion with the two ends at two extremes. Ze moshech etzlo, ze moshech etzlo, material wrapped around his neck. You have then the two people acting on the instructions of the court. Each one would draw in opposite directions. Ad sheposech es piv, and as a result of feeling a sense of strangulation, the defendant would be forced to open up his mouth. Umadlik es apsila vizorko lesoch piv. The Gemara will explain this in greater detail, but the idea here is a piece of molten material is then inserted, molten, it's heated up till the point it becomes very, very hot and hence soft, and it's then inserted into his mouth. It's been forced open. And as a result of being molten hot, it's v'yoredes l'soch me'ov v'chomeres es b'nei me'ov. It enters his innards and burns up his entire innards. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hu imeis bi'odam lo hoyu mekayim bo mitzvah sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda objects to the method in which his mouth was forced open. Rabbi Yehuda says if they use this strangling approach, let us say the defendant, the condemned, died at that point, then they would never have fulfilled the proper penalty that he's guilty of, namely the Srefa penalty. So Rabbi Yehuda has an alternative suggestion of how to force the condemned's mouth open. Ela posech es piv b'tzvas, shelo b'tavoso. His mouth is forced open with a tzvas, a pliers, and at that point, then umadlik is apsila v'zorkel d'sochpi v'yoredes l'somayav v'chomeres es b'nei me'ov. The same thing as we described above, where the molten material is then put into his mouth, into his which then goes down into his innards and burns them up, and hence it's called the sreifa, death penalty. Before learning this Mishnah, one might have thought that the sreifa death penalty is simply burning the condemned on a pyre of wood. There was an incident of a bas kohen that behaved immorally. And they surrounded her with bundles of wood and burnt her like that. They responded to Rabbi Elazar as follows. The reason they did that is because they were not knowledgeable. In other words, the Srefa execution is not done through wood, but rather, as we described above, through a piece of molten material inserted into the body. Before we go on in the Gemara, we'll take note of our Nosei Mivneh title, the Nosei, the title of the piece of Gemara, and the Mivneh structural note. We will be featuring, as the Gemara goes on, a couple of diamonds, and we describe in the outside margin two deos, minayin shesreifas neshama v'guf kayom nikra sreifa. From where do we know that this approach, whereby the innards are burnt out, but the basic body remains intact, that is called sreifa, u'mekayimim b'kach mitzvas hanisrafen, and through that type of execution, we fulfill this particular form of execution. Before we go on in the Gemara, we will just note that there are more geometric forms that we will encounter, and when we get to them, we will explain them. My psila. What is meant by this expression, psila? In other places in Shas, you find the term psila as a reference to a wick, a piece of fabric that's often associated with wicks that one lights for illumination. What does psila mean over here? Omar Rav Matana, psila shel avor. It's a piece, maybe we can term it a rod of lead. And when it's molten, so it becomes very hot and soft. Mino lon. From where do we know that this is called sreifa of the Torah? The Gemara answers, and this we're calling approach number one, Asio Srefa, Srefa me Adas Korach. We make a word comparison between our posuk, which uses the word Ba'esh Tisaref, and the posuk in the context of the congregation that followed Korach in his rebellion against the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma lahalon, just like over there, Srefas Neshama V'guf Kayom, there was a burning of the innards, but their bodies remained intact. Afkan, so too in the execution of the Bas Kohen, who is immoral, Srefas Neshama V'guf Kayam. Rebbe Lazar Omar, a second approach, Asio Srefa Srefa Mi B'nei Aaron, a word comparison between our topic of the Srefas Bas Kohen and the B'nei Aaron, the death of Nodav and Avihu, which is featured in Parshas Shmini when they were Makriv and Eish Zora in the during the consecration of the Mishkan. Ma lahalon sreifas neshama v'guf kayam, just like in their death, Nodav and Avihu died through this method, through an internal burning, but their bodies remained intact. Afkan, so too, court execution through sreifa is the same thing. Sreifas neshama v'guf kayam. At this point, we have triangles that appear, and as you scan down the page, you'll notice the triangles appear in two directions. This is explained in the Mivneh heading, on the outside margin, you have the triangle with the point facing up. Man diyolif me'adis korach. This refers to those who wanted to learn the srefa-srefa connection to adas korach, and when the point is facing down, that's a reference to those that wanted to learn man diyolif mi b'nei aroin. Continuing in the Gemara. Man diyolif me'adis korach mino lei. They who wanted to learn from Adas Korach, how do they know that that's what was, that it was Guf Kayam, that their bodies remained intact? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, by the Korach incident. V'es machtois hachatoi mu'ela benafsho sam. The expression is dash underline, which equals shenishmosam nisrefes v'guf kayam benafsho sam, meaning only their innards, something internal, not the body. V'idoch, the other opinion that did not learn from Korach, Hahi Srefa Mamashi. What took place by the Vene Korach was an actual complete burning. Srefa Mamash, Rashi says, Af Haguf. Avo Mibifnim Hischila Srefasan. Vesorfa Vaholcha Atsomoisubasar. The burning started internally, but eventually their entire bodies were burnt up. And the Gemara explains, Umay Benafshosam, what is the expression Benafshosam a reference to? Shinishaivu Srefa Al iske nafshosam. They became guilty of srefa through involvement with their nefesh. The idea of iske nafshosam, Rashi explains, Al iske nafshosam al chanufa sachilo shtia hanichneses binafshosam. Through their being seduced through eating and drinking, which is said to enter their nefesh. This is explained further by the Gemara itself. Kidereish Lakish. The Amar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, he will now, the Reish Lakish will explain a posuk in Tehillim, Bechanfe lage mo'oi, charoi golai shine mo'oi. Beshvil chanufa, shechnifu lekorach, al iske legima, chorak aleim sar shel gehenom shinov. Let us see Rashi on this. Bechanfe lage mo'oi, Bishvil chanufas shel legimois ma'oig shehechilam v'hishkam korach ladoso. Korach seduced the people that followed him through food and drink, v'nischabru imoi, and as a result of the of his whining and dining those men, they joined up with him, and it was for no good in the end. Chorach olai v'chulei. And he's referring to what the hemshich, what the continuation of the pasuk says, that eventually the ministering angel of Gehenim grit his teeth. Rashi explains the word ma'oig loshon dover ha'ne'echal. It means something that's eaten. Kidechtiv ba'almona ha'tzorfis in the parshan dealing with the Elio Anovi and this almona tzorfis. She said to him, Chay Hashem Elokecha im yesh li ma'oig. She said, she took a type of an expression of oath. She stated, it says, if I have anything to eat, namely, she was in dire poverty, she had nothing to eat. Uman, the Gemara goes on, Uman, the Yolif mi bnei Aaron, minolei, those who want to learn Srefa, the word comparison of Srefa between court death penalty and the death of Nodav Navi, how does he know that they were Guf Kayom, that their bodies remain intact? Tichtiv, vayamusu lifnei Hashem, ke'en misa, like death. Death is a reference to a person that simply dies because his bodily functions stopped working, so the body remains intact. He's said, as we use the term, dead. So the pasuk, in the context of their death, says they die. So they were like those who experienced regular death. Hence, their bodies were intact. The idach, the opinion that wanted to learn from the Adas Korach, says, with regard to the Bnei Aaron, Hahu Sreifa Mamish Havoi. There it was actual bodily burning as well. Simply, the burning started from within, but it continued and burnt their entire bodies. Umay dichti vayamusu. And what does that expression mean to this particular opinion, which we above explained a moment ago, said that a reference to they appeared as regular dead? Not so. De'aschil behu migavoi. Their death started from within, ke'en misa, as regular death occurs, namely, in regular death situations, the internal organs stop working, and that's it. In their case, it started from within, as will be explained momentarily, but they continued to be burnt completely. Desanyo, Abba Yossi ben Nistoy Omer, he explains concerning the Bnei Aaron, Shnei Chutim Shel Eish Yotsu Mibeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were two threads of fire that came forth from the Holy of Holies of the Mishkan, V'nechleku Le'arba, and the two split into four, V'nichnesu Shnayim B'chotma Shel Zeh U'Shnayim B'chotma Shel Zeh, the Sarfum, two went into this one's nostrils, and other two bolts of fire or strings of fire entered the other one's nostrils, the sarfum, and burnt them. In other words, the burning started internally, and eventually their entire bodies were burnt, according to this opinion. Question. V'hoksiv v'toichal oisam. The word osam is mashma a limitation, that they were consumed, mainly only part of them, so to speak, and not completely. So the Gemara says, it's true, there is a limitation. Osam v'lo bigdehem. They, the Bnei Aaron, were completely consumed, however, not their clothing. Their clothing remained intact. And that's what's indicated by the limitation word, osam. The Gemara now asks, if we're trying to conclude the definition of srefa in the context of court execution from other sources, v'nelef miporam hanisrofim, why not learn from the Parsha in the Torah that deals with certain types of sacrifices where after they were slaughtered and the blood applied to the altar, the bodies of those particular sacrifices were taken out of the Beis HaMikdash and burnt completely. Those are called Torah Hanisrafim. Ma lahalan Srefa Mam. It's just like over there, it's the Torah using the term Srefa is a literal, complete burning. Afkan, so too in court execution, Srefa Mamish. Why is it that we don't learn from that and rather want to learn from whether it be Adas Korach or B'nai Aaron? Answer. Mistabra me'odom havilei lemelaf. It's more likely to learn court execution, which deals with human beings, from other topics where we find human beings die through strafa. Shekain, we have four expressions which are simply titles for points of commonality between court execution and the cases featured above involving the death of people. And what are the points in common? First of all, Adam. The topic of court execution involves a human being, just like the cases of Adas, Korach, or B'nai Aaron. Chote, they involved sinning. Nishama, we're talking about where something that was alive is now put to death, as opposed to the case of Parim and Srafim, when at the point at which they are burnt, they've already been slaughtered. Here, in the case of court execution and the Adas, Korach, or B'nai Aaron, the Srefa itself is responsible for their death. Pigul. But both the case of court execution and the Adas Korach and Aaron are situation where there is no pigul. Pigul is something that is associated with sacrificial offerings done with an improper mindset. The lack of that factor is common to both the court execution and the above mentioned cases of people of the people's death. Adarabba, where it says, well, to the contrary, Mipara Manisrafim Havilela Melaf, Shekain Machshir and Ladoros. The Machshir means it is the proper way to do something. Para Manisrafim, the proper way to do it is by, as described, the bodies of those animals are taken out and burnt, completely outside the Beis HaMikdash. So too, the proper way to do court execution is something that needs to be done. This is as opposed to the cases of Adas Korach and B'nai Aaron, those were things that really should not have been done. There was some form of sin that characterizes both of those cases. Ludoros means things that are for generations and not one-time events. Court execution and the issue of Parim and Srafim is something that is not a one-time event, as opposed to the case of B'nai Aaron and Adas Korach. Those were one-time events. So why is it that you choose to learn from the Odom e'Odom, as we saw that we're dealing with Srefas Neshama v'Guf Kayim, and not learn from Parim and Srafim? So the Gemara says, Hanach Nefishan, the points in common between Odom and Odom are greater than the points in common between the court execution and Parim and Srafim, namely 4 verses 2. Man di Yolif mi Adas Korach, my time alo Yolif mi B'nai Aaron. He who chose to learn from Adas Korach, why did he not want to learn from B'nai Aaron? The Gemara says, Hahu Srefa Mamesh Havoi. The case of B'nai Aaron, this was actually referenced before, that was complete burning, where the bodies were burnt as well. So the Gemara says, well, even so, V'nei Lef Minah, let us learn from there. Why not learn from there, that through that were Mekayim Mitzvah HaNisrafim, through Srefa Mamish. Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Omar Kro. We're not going to opt for that approach for complete body burning as well, because the Pasuk says, V'yohachto l'reaha kamocha, that you shall love your friend as thyself, and we take that to mean baror lo misoyofa, you should choose for the condemned a proper or nice form of execution. V'chimeachar diko de Rav Nachman. But now, once we have Rav Nachman, who says that v'yohachto l'recha kamosho is the source for srefas neshama v'guf kayom gezero shava lamali. What do I need the gezero shava srefa srefa? The Gemara answers, E lav gezera shofa, if I would not have that word comparison of srefa srefa, havi amina, I would have thought, srefas neshama v'guf kayim lav srefa hi klal, that internal burning of organs and body remaining intact is not called srefa whatsoever, and that only complete burning is considered a kiyum of mitzvah srefa. Therefore, I need the gezera shofa. V'i mishum v'yohafta l'recha kamocha. And you'll say, well, what am I going to do with V'yohafta l'recha kamocha? Namely, if I didn't have the gzera shava, so I would have thought that body remaining intact is not strafe at all. And if you'll say, on the other hand, but what about V'yohafta l'recha kamocha, which seemed to negate complete body burning, says, no, I can still fulfill V'yohafta l'recha kamocha as follows: Lofish le chavili zmaros ki hechid elusrif la'ageil, that you should have a very intense fire so that the condemned should burn quickly. And that would be a fulfillment of a misa yofa, a very quick type of death. Komash malon, therefore, we have the gezerah shava to teach me that srefas neshama v'guf kayam in fact is called srefa. Ukvar hoyu Moshe v'Aaron mahalchin baderech v'nodav aviyu mahalchin achrayim. Rashi points out that since we discussed the misas b'nei Aaron, the Gemara feels compelled to mention something that Rashi explains is part of the cause of their actually dying. The story is as follows. Moshe and Aaron were walking along, and Nodav and Aviu were following behind them. That's what it says here. V'Nodav Aviu, Mahalchin Achareyan. The whole Yisrael Achareyan, and following them was all of Yisrael, the rest of the Jewish people. Amalo Nodav Aviu. They were the sons of Aaron. They, Nodav, said to Aviu, Amosai Amusu Shnei Zekinim Halolo, Vani Vato Nani Gesador. When will these two old men die, and we will lead, we will take over leadership? Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to them and said, Hanireh mi kover es mi, let's just see who buries whom. Rashi points out, Ukvar hoyu, three lines from the bottom, Aidi de'ari b'vnei Aaron, since we were speaking about b'nei Aaron above, Tonalei hocha lashmina, this point is taught here to teach us, that b'shvil shahoyu mevakshim srora v'rabunus mesu, because they were seeking leadership, they wanted to impose their leadership on the people, that is what caused their death. This point of mevakish srora is featured in numerous other occasions in the Chazal. The Gemara continues, Amar Papa, Hainu Damri Inchi, based on this, the following saying can be applied, Nefishi Gamli Savi, the Te'ini, Mashri, the Hugni. There are many old camels that act as beasts of burden, carrying the skins of young camels. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Lema Talmid Chacham Doime Lefnei Am Haaretz. We have a little discussion in the Gemara now, featuring the relationship between Torah sages and commoners. Rashi points out the reason for this Gemara appearing here is at the top line, Lema Talmid Chulei Mishum Da'iri Baras Korach. Since we discussed Korach Nokat Law, this following discussion will appear. Shehoyu Talmidei Chachamim, in the Aras Korach, the congregation that followed, the mass that followed Korach, they were no slouches themselves. They were not small people. They were Shehoyu Talmidei Chachamim. They themselves were sages. Kedichtiv, the Pasuk says, Nesiei Eido Kriye Moed Anshei Shem. They were leadership figures. V'al Shem Shepitam Oisoi Rosha Kishinenu Mimomono. And as a result of Korach attempting to seduce them, and they eventually benefited from his wealth. They enjoyed meals that he provided to them. Hekelu be'enov, they became, the Talmidei Chacham became light in his eyes, in the eyes of Korach. Lahasiyam ulahachzik yodo v'machloikis v'limrui b'kodesh baruch hu. He felt he would now be able to seduce them and convince them to join him in the rebellion against, as Rashi says, limrui b'kodesh baruch hu. In other words, the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't merely a political rebellion in a simple sense, but it was an act of rebelliousness against God himself. So in light of that, this idea of Torah sages and what happens when they start to become too familiar with others, what happens and how is that viewed? That's described now in the Gemara. How does a commoner view a Torah sage? Betchila doime lekita in shelzav. Begin at the beginning, namely, Rashi says betchila ba'oidoi misnahig bekvoidoi she'ain tzorach lo. Kol zman, as long as a Torah sage remains we could use the term aloof, but that sometimes can be misconstrued. Rashi says that the Talmud Chacham does not have any need. He doesn't derive benefit from the commoner. In other words, you have a Talmud Chacham who is self-sufficient, who is not in need of favors from the commoners. He, in the eyes of the commoners, he appears as a golden flask. In other words, this position of separateness, of non-dependence on the part of the Talmud Chacham, creates a sense of honor and awe in the eyes of the commoners when they view the Talmud Chacham. However, Sipir Haimenu, when they start to discuss light discussions, light conversations, that already knocks down the Talmud Chacham a little bit, knocks him down a notch. Doime Likitoin Shokesef. In the eyes of the commoners, he sees that the Talmud Chacham is not necessarily so lofty and on such a high pedestal. He's someone that we can have a good joke together with. He then is viewed as a silver receptacle. Nehne mimenu, when the Talmud Chacham starts to benefit from the commoner and needs his favors, doime lekiton shocheres. He then appears as an earthenware flask. And the nature of an earthenware flask is kevan shenishbar shuv ein lo itakona. Once it breaks, there is no repair for it. Unlike other metals that can be repaired, an earthenware flask, once it shatters, it breaks, there's no more hope. The Gemara now goes back to the issue of the death penalty for a bas kohen who behaves immorally. The Gemara presents a name here, Imrsa bas tali. This is a name. Bas Kohen Shizin Savoy. She was a Bas Kohen who behaved immorally as a married woman. Akfo Rav Chama Bartuvio Chavilez Moros V'Sarfa. He surrounded her by bundles of wood and burnt her. Om Rav Yosef Toh Betarti. Rav Yosef, certainly in light of the discussion we saw on Omid Aleph, says that Rav Chama erred on two points. Number one, Toh B'Derav Matona. He made a mistake concerning the teaching of Rav Matana. And we have an arrow here pointing to Omid Aleph. So as we go down Omid Aleph, you'll notice halfway down an arrow also on the right-hand side of the Gemara text where Rav Matana described the psila of the Mishnah was a psila shel avor. It was molten lead as opposed to bundles of wood. So what they did in the case of this Bas Kohen, they made a mistake and did not understand that the Srefa was done through a Psilo Shel Avor. Number two, Vita B'Disanya, and they also erred in the following. Let us point out that Rav Chama Bar Tuvia was at a point later than the destruction of the temple. In other words, he lived after the Sanhedrin stopped functioning. The Pasuk says, and we feature a Tanaic source, Uvosa Elokanim, Halavim, Velhashofet, Asher Ye, Bayamim Ohem. And you shall come to the Kohenim and Levim, and to the judge that will be in those days. Bizman Shiesh Kohen, Yesh Mishpat. When there is a Kohen, a reference to when there's a Kohen working in the Beis HaMikdash, just serving as a Kohen is supposed to serve in the temple, Yesh Mishpat. Then you have court procedure, including court executions. Bizman She'ein Kohen, when you don't have a Kohen functioning in the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Mishpat, then you also do not have court executions as carried out by the Sanhedrin. Rav Chama Bar Tuvia didn't realize that, apparently, and he saw to it that even at a time that there was no Beis HaMikdash ritual performed, he nevertheless did carry out a court execution. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok, Maise Bebas Kohen, Shezin Sa V'chulei. Omar Rav Yosef, based in Shel Tzedukim Havi, the story that Rebbe Lozer Reb Tzadok reports in the Mishnah, that they did an actual body burning, this was carried out by a court of Tzedukim. These are people that darshan, that approach Psukim in a literal fashion. And if the Pasuk says, Bo'esh Tisareif, so they would take a fire and burn the defendant and the condemned one. We know otherwise, that we don't approach the Torah by looking at Psukim in a literal fashion. The Gemara asks a question. The give and take that we saw in the Mishnah. Namely, we saw Rebbe Elazar telling us a story, and then we saw the response that he received, that what he's telling us was a story that should not be relied upon, and it said in the Mishnah, to this, the Gemara asks, is that really the give and take that took place? Hachi Omar Lahu Vahachi Ahadrule Vahatanya is, as the Mishnah reported, the give and take that took place, but we have a Tanaic source that says something else. Omar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Sadak Zichurani Kshusi Tinok Umurkav Al Ksefer Shel Abba. I remember when I was a mere child and carried on my father's shoulders, the Hevio Bas Kohen Shizinsov, the Kifu Chavilez Moros, the Sarfua. And they brought a Bas Kohen and surrounded her with bundles of logs, of branches, and burnt her. Omru Loi, and notice here is the point of difference from that which we saw in the Mishnah. They said to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Sadak, Koton HaYisov, Ve'ein Mavi'en Raya Mina Koton. You were a child, and the fact that you're testifying about an incident where there was a complete body burning, we can't rely on that because we don't bring proof from that which a child says. The Gemara answers, Shnei Maisim Havu. There is no contradiction between the Brisa that we just read and the Mishnah. There were two separate incidents that took place. True, both of them involved Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok. But there's a reference to two separate incidents. The Gemara asks, Hey, Omar Lehu Bereisha, which incident took place? In other words, which discussion took place? In Lema Ha Kamaisa, Omar Lehu Bereisha, if you think that the Mishnah case is that which appeared first, and the Mishnah with his report, Rebbe Elazar's report, and the Rabbonon's response to that, then something is a little hard to understand. Omar le kishu gadol velo ashkichu bei. If that be the case, and you have the case of the Mishnah where he told over something that he saw as an adult, and they don't listen to him. Omar lehu kishu katan vashkichu bei. Would he say something to them as what he saw when he was a child, and you would think they would listen to him? Ella. Ha Amar Lehu Bereisha. Rather, the incident featured in the Brisa is really that which took place first. The Amrule, and they said to him, listen, you're telling us a story about what you saw as a child, that they burnt a complete body burning of the Bas Kohen. Well, they told him, Koton HaYisa. Well, that's a story that you're reporting based on what you saw when you were a child. Well, then, the Amar Lehu Kishu Gadol, then he went on to tell them an additional story, namely the story that you saw in the Mishnah, something that he saw as an adult. The Omrule, and they said, well, even though this story you saw as an adult, nevertheless we can't rely on that, because you're telling us a story about a basin that we're non-expert. Mitzvah Hanerogin. Now, we turn to the death penalty through the sword. Hoyu Matizen es Roshei Besayef. They would decapitate him through the use of a sword. Kederech Shamalchus Oisa. As the secular authorities do, and that involved having the condemned individual standing upright and the court executioner decapitating him while in that position. Rabbi Omer, Nivul Hu Loi, or Nivul Hu Zeh, that this is disgusting. Elo, the more honored way of doing it is Manichin es Roisho al Hasadon v'kotseitz v'kupitz. His head would be placed, he would bend over and have his head on a sadan, on a block, and his head would be chopped off using a kupitz. A kupitz is a type of knife that's used for, butchers would use it for cutting meat and bones. Omru lo, they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, ein misa menuvelis mizu. If you're bringing up the issue of nivol, this is the most disgusting, reprehensible form of execution. In other words, what you're suggesting is worse than what we were suggesting. Tanya, and a Bryson now continues that elaborates on this discussion. Omar lahen Rabbi Yehuda lechachamim, afani yodea shemisa menuvelis hi. I too acquiesce, acknowledge that this is a disgusting form of execution, namely the bending over of the condemned with his head on the block. Elo ma'ase, but what can I do? I can't allow the standing position for the decapitation. Shrei omro Torah uvehukaseh lo selehu. The Torah says that one shall not follow the practices of the heathens. And therefore, it is usher for us to practice their way of execution, namely in the standing upright position. The Rabbanan, though, have a response. Now, this response is, through our markings, featured by a long point marking, and you can see this on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating the length of this particular response. The Rabbanan say as follows, V'Rabbanan, Kevon Dichtiv, Sayef Boraisa, since the Torah makes reference to death by the sword, Lo Minayu Kol Gamrinon, that which we practice is not a function of learning from the heathens. Hence, that we have death by sword in a standing position, that is not a function of learning from them, and hence we're not in violation of Kosei Lo Selechu. The E lo temahachi, because if you refuse this approach, ha desanya, we have another a practice that you can call into question. Sorfin al hamlochim velomi darke amori, that when a king of Israel dies, his possessions are burnt. And this is not considered the ways of the Amorites, the ways of these heathen people. Well, you could ask, hechi sarfinon, how do we practice the burning of kingly possessions? The pasuk says that you shall not follow in their ways, and it's known that the nations of the world also follow this procedure, burning deceased kings' personal articles. Ela kevon dichtiv sreifa boraisa, but since sreifa, burning of kings' articles, is mentioned in psukim dichtiv, upon the death of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, he was informed that his possessions would be burnt like his predecessor's possessions were burnt. This practice, therefore, is lav minayu kogamrina, and it is not something that's learned from the practices of the heathens. The Hochanami, so too, in this realm of court execution, kevon dechtiv sayef boraisa, since there's reference to sayef, to execution by the sword in the Torah itself, lav minayu kogamrinon, that which we practice is not derived from the practices of the idol worshippers. The Hodisna beidoch pirkin, elu hein hanei rogin, that which it says later on, the following are to be executed by the sword. Harotseach nashei arni dachas, a murderer, and people that are involved in public idol worshippers, members of a city of idol worshipping. Bishlamot yirani dachas ksipuhu lefi chorev. It says in the realm of the execution of the inhabitants of the yirani dachas, they are killed lefi chorev, by the sword. Elo rotseach menolat, from where do we know that a murderer suffers the same penalty, the same execution? Desanya, the pasuk says, this pasuk is in the context of a person that kills his eved kenani, his slave, his personal slave. The pasuk says, nokom yinokem, nekima zu eini yodea mahu, I don't know what the word refers to. Kishu Omer, when it says elsewhere, Vehe Vesi Alechem Cherev Noikemes Nekabris, you see the term Cherev in contact, in juxtaposition with the word Nikmas Nekam. Hevi Omer Nikima Zu Sayef. I can therefore conclude that the term Nekom Yinokem in the context of murder of a slave is a reference to execution of the murderer by the sword. The Gemara now asks, fine, we've established that the murder, that the execution is through the sword, but who says it's through decapitation? The Ema Deborah's Le Mifraz, maybe it means piercing the condemned, and that is the way he should be executed, namely taking a sword and piercing his body. The Gemara says, Lefi Chorev Ksiv. Emphasis here on Lefi, meaning the edge, through the edge of the sword, not the point. the Ema de Ovid Le Gisra, maybe the method of executing him is through slicing him in half, you know, along his length, as opposed to decapitation. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Ravua, Omar Kro, as far as this suggestion is concerned, execution through sword by slicing him in his length in half, we wouldn't do that because the pasuk says v'yohavto l'reicha kamocha, which we've seen this on a previous occasion to mean bror lo misa yofe, choose a proper at least an honorable form of execution, and that would not be the case if it were through slicing him in half. Ashkichon de kotel avdo. Up till now we've shown a source for execution by the sword in the case of killing of a slave. Bar Chorin Min Ole, how about the killing of a fellow Jew, that he too is going to be executed, that the murderer is to be executed by the sword? It may be pointed out that in the case of murder of a fellow Jew, the term Misa appears unqualified. It's called Misa Stam. And Misa Stam is generally taken to mean chenek, strangulation. Therefore, the question here is, how do you know that in the case of murder, even though it appears, the term Misa appears stam, unqualified, how do you know to do it through hereg, through the sword, and not through strangulation? The Gemara answers, v'lav kal v'chomer hu. In order to resolve this, we can say it's simply a kal v'chomer. Kotal avdo b'sayef. If upon the murder of a servant, the murderer is treated with saif, is executed through the sword. Bar chorin, if they're dealing with the murder of a full fledged Jew, bechenek, would it be through chenek, which is something less? In other words, we're working with an assumption that it seems obvious to us that if the murder of a slave results in sayef, the murder of a ben chorin, of a full-fledged Jew, is not going to be anything less. Well, this type of logic is, of course, assuming that that chenek is less than sayef, and if for the lesser type scenario, the more severe penalty is imposed, so for a more severe type scenario, then certainly the severe type of penalty of execution is imposed. This whole method of reasoning is true if you say that chenek, that strangulation, is kal, and therefore we would conclude that the murder of a ben chorin will be through the sword. But if you say, like Rabbi Shimon says, that chenek, that strangulation, is more severe than the sword, it might be as follows, that sword being the least severe penalty, that is given when a slave is killed. But when a ben chorin is killed, maybe we would notch it up one to chenek. Because this opinion holds that chenek is more stringent, more severe than the sword. Nafkale mi desanya. This opinion, namely the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, will say that nevertheless, all murderers get the sayef penalty based on the following. Vato tevair hadam hanaki mikirbecha. Hukshu kol shovchei domim le'eglo arufa. The pasuk just cited is a reference to the case of a murdered victim found between two cities, and the closer of the city, when we don't know who the murderer was, they bring an eglo arufa. This is a calf that's brought down to a certain section of ground, at which point the calf is decapitated. So we say that all murderers are compared to the method, the ritual known as eglo arufa. Ma lahalon besayef, just like the eglo arufa, his head is removed through the use of a sword, if you will, a knife. Umin hatzavar, and also from the neck. Af kan, so to other murderers, besayef umin hatzavar. Question: Ima lahalon bekupitz umimul oref. If you're making the comparison to eglo arufa, and you'll have to go all the way, you'll have to say it's used with a kupitz-type knife. Now, that type of knife is used by butchers for breaking bones and cutting meat. and it's done from mimul ore, from the back of the neck. Af kan, are you going to tell me that the misas hereg is also bekupitz umimul oref, that the court execution through sword is done the same way? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Bavua, Omar Kro, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. This we've seen already several times in today's shiur. The pasuk says, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, thou shalt love your friend as thyself. And this tells us, bror lo misa yofa, choose a proper and honorable type of death, and that is not from the, not using a kupitz in front of the back of the neck, but rather from the neck itself using a sayif. Mitzvahs hanechanokim. We now continue to the last of the different executions. We've dealt with, till this point, the niskolim, the nisrofim, the neherogin, and now the nechanokim. Hoyu meshaken oso bezevel ad arkov oisov. They would immerse him in dung until his knees. The noisein sudor kosher l'soy charaka, and they would take some material, some coarse material, and wrap around the coarse material some soft material. The korech al tzavo, and wrap this around his neck with the two ends extended. Ze moshech etzlo, ze moshech etzlo. Each there were two court appointed that each one would grab the their respective ends and draw onto into opposite directions. Ad shanafsho yotzeis, until the condemned one expires. Tanu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source opens up with a pasuk, and we've written the entire pasuk on the side. Vayikra chav pasuk yud. The ish asher yinaf es eshes ish. Asher yinaf es eshes re'ehu, mos yumas hanoef vehanoefes. So, in looking at this pasuk, we break it down as follows. Ish. Prat l'katan. The pasuk that deals with a capital offense is provided that the offender himself is an adult, to the exclusion of a katan, to the exclusion of a minor. Asher yinaf es eshes ish. This pasuk is featuring an act of immorality. The act of immorality is done with a married woman, an eshes ish. Prat li eshes katan. This is to the exclusion of a woman who is married to a minor. In that case, since he is a minor, the marriage is of no legal significance, and hence she's not considered legally a married woman, and that's not covered by this capital offense. Eshes re'ehu. The pasuk talks about immorality committed with an eshes re'ehu. This is partly eshes achirim. This is to the exclusion of the wife of a kusi. A kusi being a non-Yisrael. If someone has an act of immorality with that woman, the woman married to a kusi, they would not be subject to this capital offense. Mos yumos bechenek. Pasuk says that, that uses this expression, mos yumos, and Chazal take that to mean strangulation. You're suggesting it means strangulation. Maybe it means one of the other methods of execution as ordained by the Torah. Amris, so we answer. Wherever the term misa appears in an unqualified fashion, since the Torah didn't qualify it, you have no right to draw it to something more serious than the lightest form of execution. In other words, unless otherwise stated, you must assume that it's the least form of execution. The least severe form of execution. Rabbi Yonason Omer, lo mipnei shihi kala. The suggestion just made that Misa Stam of the Torah is a reference to Chenek. It's not because Chenek is the lightest of these of the penalties. Elo kol Misa Amura b'Torah Stam eino elo Chenek. Rather, because wherever Misa is mentioned in the Torah without qualification, it's a reference to Chenek. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe, as Rashi explains, coming to explain Rebbe Yonason. Ne'emar Misa b'dei Shemayim, ve'ne'emar Misa b'dei Adam. We find the expression Misa when it comes to heavenly ordained death, and Misa when it comes to court executions. Ma Misa amura b'dei Adam, Misa she'ein bo roshem. Just like Misa in the case of heavenly ordained death, the person dies and there's no sign of execution, simply the person drops dead, there's no injury or simen or sign that he was killed. Af misa murubi de adam. So too, misa, when found in the context of court executions, misa she'ein ba roshem. It must be a type of execution where there's no physical evidence of his having been killed. And at this point, the Gemara is assuming that that's a reference to strangulation, especially in view of the fact that the Mishnah dictates that a soft piece of material is that which is in contact with the neck. And simply he's strangled, the air supply is cut off, and as a result of asphyxiation, he expires. But at that point, you can't tell that there was any bodily damage done from looking at the outside. The Gemara asks, well, if you're telling me that the court execution referred to by Misa Stam is that which is Ein Bo Roshem, where there's no sign, the Emo Srefa, we can say the same thing with the context of Srefa. We know that Srefa is done by this molten material that's put into the body, where the internals are burnt up, but when you look at the victim or at the condemned, you can't tell from the outside that that he was executed. So maybe it's Srefa. The Gemara answers, Mida Omar Rachmona Bas Kohen B'Srefa. And the fact that the Torah troubles itself to tell us that a Bas Kohen receives the Srefa penalty, Michlal Deha, we can deduce that this one, the Pasuk referred to over here, which deals with a woman who's dealing with immorality, and it doesn't mention Srefa, namely we're dealing here with a Bas Yisrael, so Michlal Deha Lav Bas Srefa He. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.